This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Tuesday. We've been going over all kinds of things. And in this final hour, in fact, we're going to touch just briefly one more little tidbit on this alligator Alcatraz concept here, because the communist is busy building a world of make-believe still. And then we'll touch on another Hollywood flop. I will touch on the UPenn thing from today. UPenn apologized to the athletes. I wasn't going to actually do that, but I'll bring it up. All that, credit scores, emails, so much more coming up in the final hour of the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, the alligator Alcatraz thing, that huge detention center for illegals that Ron DeSantis built in Florida, and Trump's happy about it, and they're all buddy-buddy now, and all this other stuff. Joy Ann Reid used to work for MSNBC. She got fired. She was talking about it. And before I play her comments, I want to repeat something we've talked about a lot, many, 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 many times before, and I'm going to keep hitting this and keep hitting this, so just get used to it. Communists have to lie about everything. They know this. That this is built in. They know. You cannot be honest. You have to lie. You can't be honest when your entire religion is about killing things and destroying things. So they lie about everything. And part of the reason they lie about everything is they know the longer they can keep the liberal Aunt Peggy, the longer they can keep the person who goes to an American university, watches the media, the longer they can keep them in a world of make-believe, a world that is not real, that person will slowly but surely lose any semblance of humanity, and they'll turn into a vile, nasty, oftentimes violent demon. I called it this last night. I'm going to stick with this, a demon incubator. You know what an incubator is? You know, it's for those wonderful little NICU babies where they keep them completely contained, a completely controlled environment. That is the human being, the Democrat in your life, whoever that may be, who watches CNN every night. They're never exposed to the truth. Slowly but surely, this world of make-believe will turn that person into a rabid animal. And that's what it's designed to do. That's why your liberal Aunt Peggy believes that Donald Trump called Nazis very fine people. That's why the liberal Aunt Peggy in your life believes things like this. This is why Joy Reid says these things, because your liberal Aunt Peggy will believe them.
Ron DeSantis is still governor of Florida. He took the comfy couch hosts on a tour of the concentration camp that he's building in Florida in order to round up people, brown people, and throw them in a camp because he doesn't want them in Florida. Surprise, surprise,
I know that's ridiculous. You know that's ridiculous. Let's get past all that. It's not an accident that they say things like this. Your liberal Aunt Peggy watches it and believes it. She believes it's a concentration camp. She believes they're just going out rounding up brown people. And the longer she believes that, the longer she is kept in the captivity of the demon incubator, the less and less humanity she will have. They are creating this world in order to create a desperate, committed foot soldier who will do the terrible things they want done. That's why they lie about everything. It's part of the reason they lie about everything. Another part of it is just the simple explanation that the truth is horrific. It's absolutely horrific. You have, well, a great example. This guy in New York City. This communist running for office who says things like this.
We'll have to go beyond the market. We can establish community land trusts to gradually buy up housing on the private market and convert it to community ownership. We can give tenants a right of first refusal.
That's communism. So what do you do when the guy you're trying to make mayor of New York City is a fairly open communist? He doesn't call himself that, but it's pretty open. Anyone with ears can hear. Well, it's very simple. You lie. You see, the communists took over a fact-checking website known as PolitiFact. They probably started it, known as PolitiFact. And now, because it's sold to people as an independent fact-checking site, people will go to PolitiFact without realizing it's their design. It's designed to protect communists from the lies they tell. So PolitiFact is out there fact-checking people who call this guy a communist. In fact, many people in the American media are running to the cameras to lie about this guy. But people who've survived actual communism, no, this is Xi Van Fleet, survived Mao's communist revolution.
Yeah, I want people to know he is more than just the typical woke Marxist that focus on identity politics, DEI, and oppressor and oppressed narrative. He is a full-fledged communist. I don't know whether the New York voters understand what it means that seize means of production. That means abolish private property. That means.
So when you're selling something that horrible, you have to lie. Always lying. Every single thing is a lie by design.
I think our reverence for the truth might have become a bit of a distraction that is preventing us from finding consensus and getting important things done.
Here's another lie. Completely changing gears here. The lie is that you cannot pay back loans that you take out. And you can get away with this without consequence. I wanted to have this talk with you. It's the third hour, just to frank you and me, because here's what has happened. Companies have been exploring the pay later option. Have you heard of this before? I mean, we're talking, there are even food delivery companies that are, well, I mean, yeah, you can order it now, but you pay for your cheeseburger later. Order now, pay later. And because people don't have dads, like I had a dad, no one seems to understand how credit scores, how economics works. So allow me to explain credit scores. First, you want a good one. You want a good credit score. The reason you want a good credit score is there will come a time that you will need a loan for something or want a loan for something. I mean, maybe it's a want. Maybe it's a boat. Maybe it ends up being a need. You need a quick small business loan. Maybe whatever it is, you are going to need a good credit score at some point in time. And if you have a good credit score with good credit history, you will get a loan more easily and your interest rate will be way better. And I know interest rates can get really boring, especially for people who aren't financially inclined, and that's fine. Look, I think they're boring too. But the difference between a good interest rate and a bad interest rate can oftentimes mean, hear me out here, paying double for something. The guy with the 750 credit score, he might go out to buy a Honda. He might pay, in the end, after all the payments have been made, he might pay half of what the guy who has a 550 credit score, of what he paid because of the interest on that. Credit score matters, kids. I'm talking to you. Credit score matters. And so how do you get a credit score? And don't email me complaining about the credit score companies. I know all your complaints are noted. And by the way, they're valid. I'm not dismissing it. I'm telling you how life works, not how you want it to work or not how I want it to work. These credit score companies, there's three of them. They hand out a credit score based on what? Your credit history? How you pay back loans? Do you pay back loans on time? And how large are the loans you pay back? Remember, it's not just paying on time. That matters. But let's say you've never had a sizable loan in your life, but you have cell phones. Maybe you have a cell phone. Of course you do. Pure Talk, of course. Anyway, you have a cell phone. You pay your cell phone bill on time. Maybe a credit card. You don't run up a lot of credit card debt. That's a good thing. But you pay your credit card on time, and all those things are good to go. And so you look at your credit score and you see, wow, I've got a 700. Yes, that's all good. But now it's time for you to go take out a $200,000 home loan, and every bank laughs you out of the bank and says, get out of here. Why? Because, yes, you have a history of paying things, but you have no history of paying back a $200,000 loan. Therefore, you are risky. Just because you can pay your Pure Talk bill doesn't mean you can pay your mortgage. You understand? This was just a long Daddy Jesse talk to tell you this. Paying your cell phone bill on time matters. If you, please don't do this, but if you choose to order DoorDash on credit, please pay it back. You can find your life severely hampered by that cheeseburger you didn't pay for, okay? And no, you are never, ever, 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 ever going to stick it to those credit companies by not paying something. You're never going to stick it to that cell phone company by not paying something. I know that feels good. You sound like a tough guy. It only hurts you. Doesn't hurt them at all. They don't care about your $79, but they did just cost you that home you wanted to buy. Just a heads up. Now, let's do some emails. I will, you know what, I'll touch on the UPenn thing, which I've avoided for 2.5 hours. This is, I don't think it's a big deal, but I'll touch on the UPenn thing in a moment. Before I touch on that, let me touch you. Let me put that differently. Before I touch on that, let me touch your heart. Widows and orphans. This is not optional for you or me. We are obligated to care for the widows among us, for the orphans among us. That is a requirement. That is why I love Tunnel to Towers so much. Because, I mean, the heartbreak. Dad gets up, puts on the badge, goes out, gets ambushed by some monster. We just saw firefighters in Idaho ambushed by some demon. Where do their wives go? Their kids go? Look, Tunnel to Towers doesn't bring anybody back. They can't do that. But they'll pay off a mortgage for you. They at least ease that financial burden. And it's your $11 a month that allows them to do that. That's all they've ever asked for. T2T.org. T2T.org. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Reminding you, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. And in case you're wondering, yes, me, Chris, Corey, after that last little talk, we had a little credit score competition during the break. And I know you're going to find this shocking, but Chris wasn't the best one. I was sure Jewish producer Chris was going to have the best credit score. Chris, you may be kicked out of the synagogue after this, bud. But in case you're curious, though, his credit's basically perfect. So is Corey's. But, hey, Chris, don't rub your head. Don't rub your head. Whose credit score was the best, Chris? Whose was it? Don't say I don't count. I count. I matter. Let's talk about what happened today. It really didn't interest me, but I realize it's a story a lot of people are talking about. So you remember that tranny swimmer at UPenn who was helicoptering his way across the pool and won the national title and all that? Everybody remembers that whole guy. What's he call himself? Leah Thomas or something like that. UPenn today stripped all his records and apologized to all the female swimmers. Look, this is good. It is good. It's good. I think our culture is finally starting to reject the insane, absolutely insane tranny nonsense.
Why are you gay?
But I guess let me explain why I didn't talk about it and why I'm not going to talk about it a lot. This is, how am I supposed to celebrate that we're finally acknowledging what everyone should have acknowledged originally? You know, if I go grab a hammer and I walk out to the driveway and I just start bashing myself in the head with a hammer, cracking my skull, making myself bleed, hurting myself badly. And then, after doing this for a week, with all the brain damage that came with it, I decide I'm going to stop smashing myself in the head with a hammer. Is that really a cause to celebrate? I mean, I guess it's good you stopped, but dudes can't become women. Women can't become dudes. And no, I'm not going to take the lame, pathetic GOP line. Well, at least adults can make their own decisions. At least not the kids. No, adults can't change their sex either. You are born a man. You'll always be a man. You're born a woman. You'll always be a woman. It has not helped anybody to embrace mental illness. It's not okay. It's well beyond sports. I know that's the GOP line because it pulls really well, and I'm fine. I'm happy about that too, getting dudes out of women's sports, but it's well beyond sports and certainly women's sports. It's about society at large. We've had this insane period of time where we've been scolded and lectured that we have to celebrate mental illness, and I'm not participating in it. I've never participated in it, and I'm not going to celebrate when we get a tiny little win. I don't want to be completely dismissive of it. I'm glad these females who competed and won are going to actually get titles and get these things. I'm glad. I'm happy for them. I am. It's a W, but congratulations. You're not beating your head with a hammer anymore. I'm sorry. It doesn't move me any deeper than that. I'm disgusted that we've allowed this to go on for long enough. I'm disgusted. Oh, and by the way, speaking of the big, beautiful bill, did you know that the GOP Senate refused to strip the, what do they call it, gender surgeries from the GOP bill, from the big, beautiful bill? Did you know that you, the American taxpayer, are still going to be funding tranny surgeries because it's still in the big, beautiful bill? And it's in the big, beautiful bill because Republicans kept it in there. Did you know that? So I don't want to be Debbie Downer. This is why I didn't want to do it, because it was already a heavy show. And I knew I was going to be King Cynic about the whole thing. Chris, am I crazy? Is this crazy? Okay. Chris is trying to be the voice of reason. He tells me to take the small wins. And he's not wrong. Okay, look, it's better than a hole in the head. It's something, but momentum is a good way to put it, Chris. That's a good way to put it. It's momentum. It's the culture's slowly shifting back towards sanity, but it's hard not to think about all the kids who have been manipulated by evil adults, evil parents, evil teachers, evil psychiatrists, evil surgeons. How many children in this country? It's thousands, by the way, thousands. How many children have permanently mutilated their bodies because of this disgusting insanity the country tried to tell me was normal for a long time? So, all right. I mean, okay, it's something. Now, you know what else is something? Independence Day is coming. Friday, Independence Day. And there are a lot of veterans in the United States of America who are going to be waving a brand new American flag that was made in America, an Allegiance flag, courtesy of Pure Talk and courtesy of you. I wanted to use this moment to say thank you. I asked, you've heard me ask over and over again, for you to nominate a veteran. Pure Talk wanted to hand these free American flags out to veterans, and you did. Over and over and over again, you made Veterans Days. That sounded weird, but you made a lot of veterans, you made their day. And they're going to have fresh flags on Independence Day because of what you and what Pure Talk did, so thank you for that. There is still time to nominate somebody, puretalk.com/nominate, and there's always time to switch your cell phone service to the company that does this kind of thing. AT&T is never gonna. Pure Talk is. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
But you do want to be informed.
Can you be informed without being all of those other things? We think so. Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty, the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
If you shoot at us and we deflect it, it doesn't really count. And that just doesn't make any sense. You got to make a rule. Don't shoot at the United States.
Or if you prefer, Iran, blah, blah, blah.
America haters are winning. The would-be communists, the Marxists, are winning in America. And they're doing so openly, and nobody cares.
I think giving the downtrodden money enables them. They aren't getting the money. I'm winning.
Good Lord, that was the voice of the patriarchy right there, folks. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Tuesday. Now, let's get to some of these emails, shall we? Dear Jesse Leathers, stop calling me that. That was one time. I shouldn't have said that. I was thinking about everybody freaking out about that filthy commie getting elected for Democrat nominee mayor in New York City, and I noticed a big uptick of other talking heads talking about him being a communist, so on and so forth. Could this be a blessing in disguise that it might shake Norm hard enough to realize how pervasive communism has become in our country? You could make that argument. Now, historically, let's just talk about how this has worked historically. Historically, people don't usually wake up to the horrors of communism until it's too late. It happens time and time and time and time again. These communists, they know how to sell things. All it takes is one eloquent guy who knows how to relate to the masses. And listen to this guy. This guy can speak. He is charismatic.
We'll have to go beyond the market. We can establish community land trusts to gradually buy up housing on the private market and convert it to community ownership. We can give tenants a right of first refusal to buy out their landlords when buildings go up for sale. And we can fully commit to a new era of social housing, ending subsidy.
He's even got the flowery music. Remember the ISIS videos? You remember the ISIS propaganda videos? You probably never saw the super dark ones, but I know at least you remember the little snippets they would play on the news. They looked pretty good, didn't they? Pretty sharp. Production. They even had the kind of cool black and white colors. The devil knows how to make himself look really, really, really good. You think the devil looks like Chris, but really he looks like me. Chris. I was just using you as an example. Sorry about that. But you understand what I mean. People, they fall for the propaganda. They fall for the advertisement. They fall for the new shiny thing, the young, good-looking guy. Hey, you don't like paying your rent? Don't worry, I'll fix it for you. And they don't wake up to the horror of it until it's too late. Solzhenitsyn has a great quote about this. I'm not going to pull it up, but his quote, I'm paraphrasing, is, "We just were so angry in the camps at ourselves that we didn't rise up earlier. That we didn't stop what these people were doing earlier." And it's this way every single time. People buy the flowery propaganda. They buy the brochure. And then eventually you're dying and you're hating yourself saying, why didn't I see it coming? Now, it may benefit the rest of the country, but let me ask you this. Does the country win if New York falls? I would argue it doesn't. I'm a New York lover, as you know. I'm not asking you to be, but I love New York City. If America's biggest, most important city, that's not really arguable, if America's biggest, most important city burns, isn't that bad for everybody? And sometimes learning a valuable lesson is the only good thing you can take from it. We've used that example when we've talked about COVID before. How horrible COVID was. It was horrible for in almost every single possible way. It was horrible for kids. It was horrible for adults. It was horrible for the economy. It was horrible for people's health. It was, and I'm not talking about the disease itself. I'm talking about the government response to it. It was just horrible all the way down the line. We will, here's, Chris is calling me Debbie Downer today, but here's one. We will probably never financially recover from COVID because we are still spending at COVID levels and there's not even an attempt to get us back to pre-COVID levels. COVID and the government, more specifically, the government response to COVID will bring us to bankruptcy sooner than we would have gone there anyway. That's a fact. So look, it's all bad, right? Bad, 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 bad. But you can take some hard lessons from it. If you have to put a smiley face on it, you found out the family member, the neighbor, the employer in your life, the employee in your life, who's going to be a filthy communist that turns you into the government. That person calling the police because you weren't wearing a mask, that's the evil person that's going to turn you into the government, even if it's your mother. You know that, right? Oh, I know they've probably apologized by now and moved on, but that shows you the type of, they showed you who they were in that moment. So can we take some value in it? If New York makes a terrible mistake and votes this guy in and then New York burns, yeah, I guess. I don't want that. I don't want to have to learn a hard lesson the hard way. You know, I don't want my kids to have to go through a severe cocaine addiction and then come out of rehab to finally realize that cocaine is bad. I would rather they just never did cocaine. That would be a much better outcome. That's it. Now, I'm not going to spend much time on this, but there's a movie out. You haven't heard of it, and I know you haven't gone to see it because no one else did. The movie was called Elio. It was put out by Pixar. And something happened. It's famous right now because it's bombing in ways movies don't normally bomb. What happened? Well, they made it as gay as they possibly could. They tried to make it all about a gay 11-year-old. And they test screened the movie after they'd done this. They just made the gayest possible movie. They test screened it. And after they test screened it, they asked everybody, hey, would you go see this movie in the theater? And not a single person raised their hand. So they scrambled. They panicked, essentially. They fired the director, some gay director, of course, who had to gay the whole thing up. And then they tried to chop it up, and now it's this huge box office failure. And the point is not about the movie. The movie doesn't matter at all. The point isn't even necessarily about Hollywood. The point is to remember that the communist is always a communist first. Even when you are a film director presented with the most amazing opportunity, how many people want to be a director out there of Hollywood films? Anyone who's at all into that stuff would dream of a gig like that, millionaire Hollywood director. And finally, you are handed the opportunity to be a Hollywood director, a writer, a producer. And what do? Well, you're still a communist first. You don't sit down and try to make the greatest movie you can possibly make. You sit down and figure out how you can spread your sick religion to the masses. You sit down and try to use your role as Hollywood director to spread cultural Marxism far and wide. This just goes to what we've talked about so many times before. The communist is always a communist first. Whether he wears a judge's robes or sit in a Hollywood director's chair or has an FBI badge or a kindergarten teacher, or whatever they are, the communist never sets aside his communism. Even when presented with the opportunity of a lifetime, he can't help himself because he is religious. He is not political. He is not ideological. He is religious. He is a zealot. If you want to truly understand the mind of these people and why they do the things they do, why they'll just light billions of dollars on fire, you're better off studying radical Islamic jihadis than you are anything else. That's how the communist conducts himself. in a suicidally committed manner. All right. We'll try to knock out a couple emails before we do headlines, and then we're checking out of here. Hang on.
Missed out?
Catch up.
JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on what has been a blast of a Tuesday. I know it sounds like I'm in a bad mood. I swear I'm not in a bad mood. Honestly, when I hear the President of the United States talking about arresting this dirty communist in New York, it blesses me.
Your beloved New York City may well be led by a communist soon, Zorhan Mandami, who in his nomination speech said he will defy ICE and will not allow ICE to arrest criminal aliens in New York City. Your message to communist Zorhan Mandami?
Well, then we'll have to arrest him. Look, we don't need a communist in this country, but if we have one, I'm going to be watching over him very carefully on behalf of the nation. We send him money. We send him all the things that he needs to run a government. We're going to be watching that very carefully. And a lot of people are saying he's here illegally. He's, you know, we're going to look at everything. But and ideally, he's going to turn out to be much less than a communist. But right now, he's a communist. That's not a socialist. You know, I've always said we will not have socialism in this country. In the speeches, I said, well, what? They skipped socialism.
I like it when I hear Trump talk like this. I like it when I hear Donald Trump speak like this about Alejandro Mayorkas.
Was he given a pardon, Mayorkas? Was he not?
I don't believe so.
Well, I take a look at that one, because what he did is it's beyond incompetence. Something had to be done. Now, with that being said, he took orders from other people, and he was really doing the orders. And you could say he was very loyal to them, because it must have been very hard for him to stand up and sit up and, you know, talk about what he allowed to happen to this country and be serious about it. So he was given orders. If he wasn't given a pardon, I could see looking at that. In fact, why don't you take a look at it, Kristen?
He's cooking. He's realizing we have to throw these people in jail. You have to throw communists in jail. And when I say he's cooking so well, he must be using the IQ sense. I have to assume he's using an IQ sense when he's cooking like this, because with an IQ sense, you get it done right every single time. The wireless, the magical, miraculous meat thermometer. Wireless that syncs up with an app on your phone. And when I say that, I know maybe you're anti-technology like I am, and you think to yourself, I can't do that. I did it. All right? I did it, so you can do it. It's nothing. You just download the app on your phone, and your phone tells you when the meat is done. If you're looking, you're not cooking. You cook to temperature, and thanks to the IQ sense, it's done perfectly every time. Whatever you cook, chicken, beef, pork, Chris, anything, brisket, it doesn't matter what it is, in the pan, in the oven, on the smoker. Plus, don't you want to save cash? Independence Day's coming. Don't you want to make sure your meat is perfect like my meat is? ChefIQ.com. Code Jesse saves you 15%. These things can handle 1,000 degrees. 1,000 degrees. I'll be honest, isn't that a little overbuilt? I don't even know anything that gets up to 1,000 degrees, but the IQ sense can. I'm telling you, this thing's amazing. ChefIQ.com, code Jesse. Scott Bessent, he decided to weigh in on the Elon Musk Trump spat, because Elon Musk is still, as we speak, he's still raging about this bill and issuing threats, and it's just a big ugly mess right now.
What's your reaction? You guys famously tangled in the White House.
I admire Elon's leadership on rockets. I will take care of the finances.
I know that may not sound like much. I mean, he's not calling him names, but in professional circles, you know how it works in the professional world. If you finish an email with "please advise," that is a nasty way to finish an email. That means somebody screwed something up or missed something badly, and you finish it with a "please advise." You might as well tell them to go screw themselves. I mean, that's in professional speak. That's what that means. Elon Musk is the richest man in the world. Scott Bessent's no chump either. I mean, he's a billionaire too, but Elon Musk is the richest man in the world. Prideful, like all dudes, myself too. It's just we all suffer from it. This doesn't sound that mean, but Scott Bessent going on the news and telling Elon Musk, why don't you stick to rockets?
What's your reaction? You guys famously tangled in the White House.
I admire Elon's leadership on rockets. I will take care of the finances.
Oh yeah. Chris just brought up a good one. Another good one. As per my last email, that's another one of those professional things you put in your email that is basically saying, apparently I have to repeat myself because you're too stupid to read what I read before. That's what that says. But as per my last email, and by the way, all these things are exactly why Jewish producer Chris insists on editing any professional emails I send to anybody, especially if I'm upset. He will say, will you please let me look at that before you send it? Because I'm really good at these. What, Chris? What? Well, okay, that's a very fair point. Chris says I'm not professional, so I don't usually use that jargon. I'll just come right out and call you a moron or something like that. But that's why Chris is here, to make sure I don't do that kind of thing anymore. And I have to tell you, I think I've improved.
And now...
here's a headline.
You know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Ford Foundation taps scandal-plagued Yale Law School dean as the next president. This makes me so sad. Not the president thing or any of that other stuff, but Rockefellers, Ford, all these American lions, titans of industry, to watch their legacy be destroyed by filthy communist grandchildren and great-grandchildren saddens me. Disney's another example. Imagine Walt Disney finding out that his company's losing billions because they can't stop gaying up every movie. Imagine raising Walt Disney from the dead and taking him down to the Disney World Princess store and showing him there's a dude with a beard pretending to be a princess. Oh my gosh. NIH funded hundreds of genetically engineered COVID variants. Oh gosh, what's the worst that could happen? Pentagon speeds up ship manufacturing, awarding $5 billion contract to supercharge America's naval power. Okay, well, call me when the ship's done. If I sound cynical, it's because I've watched these programs blow. $5 billion turns into $25 billion, and you get a new ship 50 years from now. Planned Parenthood defunding provision clears the Senate parliamentarian review in the GOP budget bill. I guess I'm just Debbie Downer today. Did you know that the whole defunding Planned Parenthood thing only applies to year one? They only defund it for 1 year, and then the rest of it goes right back in. I told you, a Congress this evil and this corrupt is not capable of producing a bill that is good. You can argue the bill is necessary because we need the ICE agents, the border security, and all that. You can argue all those things, and maybe you're right. But beautiful? It sure ain't. Because Congress isn't capable of beautiful. It's basically a feminist. That's all.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.